Hope this will work. Okay, the Farshas Toldot, and the topic is written on the sheet. I'm Esav Chazar B'Tshuva. Esav, the brother of Yaakov, who is well known as the bad guy. You know, he wears the black shirt, the black pants, and Yaakov is the good guy, of course. So it says, before we get to Esav, I wanted to look at Yishmael. The end of the life of, or the history of Yishmael is found in the previous parasha, in the parasha of Chaye Sarah, Breishit Perek Kafhei. The end of the parasha, Eile Shnei Chaye Yishmael, Ma'at Shana U'Shloshim Shana V'Sheva Shanim, El Amav. So there are two things in the Pasuk. First, the Pasuk tells us the number of years that Yishmael lived, and then the Pasuk says that he died. But it doesn't say that he died. It said Vayigva Vayamot. Now the word Vayigva probably also means to die. So he died and he died. Vayigva Vayamot. And of course, Chazal were always interested in that kind of combination of words, like, you know, very, very. It's hard to say that a person could die very. You die, you're dead, and that's the end of it. So what could Vayigva Vayamot possibly mean? Rashi explains it as follows. Re'el Shnei Chaye Yishmael V'Gomer Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Lama Nilushno Tav Shal Yishmael. Why are we taught the years of Yishmael? How many years Yishmael lived? The assumption, I guess, is that if the Torah tells us how long a good person lived, like Adam HaRishon, or Cain, or Hevel, people are important to us, and so that's part of the story. But what possible reason could there be for the Torah telling us how long Yishmael lived? That's Rav Chiya's answer. That in order to make sure we knew exactly how the years of Yaakov's life were, so the Torah told us the life of Yishmael. I mean, Rashi explained that in a moment, but the point is that Rashi's interpretation is Eino Chinami. There is no reason to know how many years Yishmael lived. And the only reason that the Torah tells it to us is because there's some other information that is derived from that. And it's the other information that we're really interested in. And that's Shnotav Shel Yaakov. Min Shnotav Shel Yishmael Alamadnu, Sheshimesh Yaakov Bebeit Ever Abasrei Shana, Shepiresh Me'aviv, right? Yaakov left his father and went to learn in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eva for 14 years, told him Shabbat Lavan. And he did this learning before he got to the house of Lavan. Sharek Shepiresh Yaakov Me'aviv made Yishmael. When Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael, that's when Yishmael died. That's what the pasuk means, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. That's the parak of Megillah. So Daf Yud Zayin Amar Aleph, there's this a whole daf or half a daf that's devoted to this question of when Yaakov went to Lavan, how many years it took him to get there, what he was doing there, and then somehow they connect that to Yishmael. The point for us is that knowledge of the years of Yishmael, according to Rashi, is totally, has nothing to do with Yishmael. It has to do with some other problem that we have. So now if you look at the next Rashi, Rashi says, Vayigva. Rashi says, Lo nemra gviya ela betzadikim. So that if a person, a regular person dies, it says, Vayamot. If a righteous person dies, it might say in the Torah, Vayigva Vayamot. So why? So the end of that Pasuk, which says the next pasuk, right? Vayishkenu mechavila at Shur. This is like names of places. Asher alpenei Mitzrayim boacha Ashura alpenei kol echad nafal. Alpenei kol echad nafal. Nafal must mean that he died. Alpenei kol echad nafal. He died when everybody else was alive, was still alive. What does that refer to? So we'll look at Rashi. Al pnei kol echad nafal shachem. He dwelt. That doesn't mean he died, but it means they dwelt. Minyan v'amalek v'kol b'nei kedem noflim ba'emek. There's a pasuk in Shoftim that says noflim ba'emek. They were living in the valley, right? They were living in the valley, not that they would die. Tanu omer l'shon nefila. Here he uses that verb. The Torah uses the verb nun pei lamed. Ulahalan hu omer al pnei kol echav yishkon. Ad shelo meit Abraham yishkon. Mishemet Abraham nafal. So that, again, Rashi says there's a hidden meaning here. It's true that the word nafal means to dwell, to live, but it's a word that you use after the death of Abraham, when your holdings in Eretz Yisrael were not as sturdy, because Abraham found out that his children would have to go into exile in Mitzrayim. So their dwelling in Eretz Yisrael was not the same as the dwelling of Avraham Avinu. So we're left with this idea. Well, what about this idea of Vayigva? That the word Vayigva is only used with the righteous. So does that make Yishmael one of the righteous? Rashi doesn't answer that question. Rashi just says, if you look again, Vayigva, lo nemra gviya ela betzadikim. That's what Rashi says. Which to me implies that Yishmael was a tzaddik. I mean, how do you know? I mean, what did he do that was so righteous? Rashi doesn't say. But there must be something. So let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban discusses this matter very thoroughly. V'eilu shnei chaye Yishmael, akarol b'derech hapshat, ki akatuv yisaper b'vnei atzadikim toldoteihem u'mispar chayehem lo'odia ki zer atzadikim yivorach. He is, like you could say, like a more balabatish approach, the Ramban. The Ramban says, well, the reason that the Torah tells us about the life of Yishmael was to show us that even a Yishmael type, if he's the son of a righteous man like Avraham Avinu, is probably going to get a good deal, right, in life. So that the important thing is to make sure that your father is very righteous. That's the idea. V'lo yisaper yemei Esav, ki chaya yoter miYaakov. He says, but it doesn't tell, the Torah doesn't tell us the number of years of Esav in the next parasha, right? First we're talking about Yishmael, now we're talking about Esav, that the Torah does not tell us the number of years that Esav lived, ki chaya yoter miYaakov, because Esav lived longer than Yaakov, and therefore it would sound like the bad guy got a better deal from heaven than the good guy. So the Torah didn't want to write that. Ukvar nishlam hasipur b'mot Yaakov. And that's the end. The Torah just told us about the death of Yaakov. V'loretz alachzor eile chaye Esav. And didn't want to give you the impression somehow that Esav is continuing the life of Yaakov. So the Torah didn't say anything. That's the pshat. The simple pshat is that the Torah tells you the number of years that the children lived to prove that the children received the blessing from their fathers. But when it would be misleading, and you might think that the children are even better off than the fathers, or better than the older brother who is a tzaddik, so then the Torah might not tell us the number of years. Okay. Then the Ramban continues and says the last two words on the third line. Umedrash Rabotenu b'sipur yemei Yishmael ta'amim rabim. Says the Gemara, however, is not satisfied, and the Gemara tells us many reasons for listing the life of Yishmael, right? But it doesn't say, the Ramban doesn't say because he was a tzaddik. Again, if you ask Rashi, Rashi says, Vayigvar Vayamot Vayishmael, that means, Beri Chozar B'tshuva. So if Chozar B'tshuva, there's a good reason to list the number of years that he lived, because he was a tzaddik. But the Ramban doesn't go for this. And he explains, Vayigvar, you see the word Vayigvar? Lashon Rashi, lo nemra gviya, ela batzadikim. That's what Rashi said. Rashi said that, so that means that Yishmael was a tzaddik. Uvi Gemara, hikshu, David umabul. Sorry, Dor hamabul nemra ben gviya. Says, what do you mean? How could the Gemara say that? After all, it's a pasuk. If you look down at the third source, or the second source at the bottom, Breshit Perek Zayin pasuk Kav Aleph, Vayikvah Kol Basar Harom Neis Al Haaretz Mavu Vabei Mavu Chayav Kol Hasheretz Hasheretz Al Haaretz. Everything died in the Mabul. What does it say in the pasuk? What does it say in the pasuk? Vayikvah. So how can you say? How can the Gemara say that every time the Gemara, that it says Vayikva in the Torah, that it means Tzadikim? All these people died because they were being punished. And the Torah says Vayikva. Question. So what does the Ramban say? The Ramban says, Kol Hashem Baratz Yikva, also another pasuk, who mitareitz. Gviad, there the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yud Zayin, Gviad Aseifa Ka'amrina. It's only when Gviad, the word Gviad, comes with another word, Aseifa. Kavanatam, the Ramban says, Ki Gviad Ita Belo Choli, Mach'iv, Uvelo Yisurim. If it says, Gviad Aseifa Ne'esaf El Amo, that means that you died without any pain. Without any pain, v'lo yisurin. Now, according to the Rambam, in Hilchot Teshuvah, if a person dies and he has no yisurin, that means that he also had no obligations that might have led him to the punishment of karet. Because yisurin are necessary in order to purify certain people. So if you didn't have yisurin, so you're a tzaddik. A person who dies and without any pain, is a tzaddik. Vein zochin la'el ha-tzaddikim. That's what the Ramban says. V'anshei dor ha-mabula ha-fulchim k'mo re'araga v'lo chalu b'hem yadayim. And similar, anshei dor ha-mabul, right? The people who died in the mabul, in the flood, ha-fulchim k'mo re'araga, they didn't have any pain. They just like drowned right away. The water covered them up, and that was the end of it. And they were not attacked by some foreign force. Right? They no stuck knives into them or hit them over the head with hammers. I mean, that's a terrible way to die. They just died. And also the ones who died in the desert. So the Ramban says there are two kinds of gviyah. Gviyah meaning to die. There's gviyah of righteous, which means gviyah plus nesaf elamav, plus another verb. Or there's stam gviyah. And gviyah means that, you know, it was painless. But it doesn't mean that you were righteous. V'chein hu ish echad lo gava ba'avono. Another pasuk. Shelo heimito to avono pit'om. So Ramban improves on the Rashi. What did Rashi say? Rashi said that these words in the pasuk Vayigva Vayamot means that they were tzaddikim. What does the Ramban say? What does the Ramban say? Not every gviyah is the death of tzaddikim. Not every gviyah is the death of tzaddikim. And therefore, we're back again to our question about Yishmael. Was he a tzaddik or wasn't he a tzaddik? We don't know. Now look at the Ramban, the rest of the Ramban. The Ramban says, V'lishon b'reishit rabbah, right? The Medrash. V'ayigva v'yamot Avraham. It says about Avraham, v'ayigva v'yamot. That's what it says about Yishmael, v'ayigva v'yamot. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, Achasidim Arishonim Ayumat Batisrin Becholei Me'ayim, Mityasrin Becholei Me'ayim, Basara Basrim Yom Lomar Shacholi Memarek. They would have very, very painful intestinal conditions. And they said that this pain was purifying. It would purify them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Mishen Emra Bo Gviya, Meit B'Choli Me'ayim. Anybody about whom it is said Gviya, the verb Gviya is used, means that they were at intestinal difficulties. B'Sham, Amru V'Chol Hashem Aretz Yigva, Yitzmok. Yitzmok means like a raisin. Right, you died, but you got shriveled up, and that was a bad kind of death. Hamak bisaro. In other words, he's getting old and weathered and sick, but he's still walking around. V'chein dat unkulushetergein bekan v'et nigid. The who it looks like you fainted. Kedushon it nagud v'tvach. Yachol yishalem chamisha negidim. He's talking about that word. V'nemar came by Mabul, k'moshe amar v'imach etol ha'yikum. That it was like all mushed out. The whole world. V'nemar v'igva v'yamot. K'geva yichalesh v'yamot. V'hi mita batzadikim. So, again, what conclusion did the Ramban come to? That Rashi is wrong, but he's saying something that is correct. In which way is Rashi wrong? Because Rashi says that lo nimra gvi'ah ela b'tzadikim. That he disagrees about. However, the Ramban agrees that v'yigva v'yamot, that's only by tzadikim. So both Rashi and the Ramban agree that Yishmael was righteous. When did he become righteous? And what did he do that made him righteous? That we don't know. But this is all the end of last week's parasha. Now we get to this week's parasha. At the end of the parasha of Toldot, it says the following. Vayishlach Yitzchak et Yaakov. You see it in the psukim after the Ramban. וישלח יצחק את יעקב הילך בדד הארם אל לבן בן בתואל הארמי אחי רבקה עם יעקב ועשיו. Okay? Rivka had two children, they were twins, Yaakov ועשיו. At the end of a very complicated story, Yitzchak sends Yaakov away from home. And he sends him to the house of Lavan. Ben Betuel, Lavan was the brother, was Rivka's brother. So he is sending his son Yaakov to the house of his uncle. Right? Betuel ben Lavan. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Vayar Esav. Now Vayar always means he understood something. Something made sense to him. Vayar Esav, ki berech Yitzchak et Yaakov. You remember, Esav saw that Yitzchak blessed Yaakov. So that's a nice way of saying that Esav hated Yaakov because Yitzchak gave him the bracha. And Esav did not give up his interest in getting the bracha back, or getting a bracha of equal significance. which he was not able to get at the time. So, he understood something, that Yitzchak, that Yaakov had the bracha that he wanted. Vishilach oto Paden Aram, and that he sent him to Paden Aram, misham isha, v'barcho oto. It was according to Esav, there was some kind of a connection between getting the bracha, or the bracha actually coming true, and Yaakov marrying a woman from the family of Betuel, Padena Aram. Bibarcho oto, v'yitzav alav le'mor, lo tikach isha mibenot kinar. So all of this somehow just made sense to Esav. The whole thing made sense to Esav. That somehow Yaakov would bring the bracha into actualization by following the directive of his father to marry a girl who lived in Padan Aram from the family of Betuel, the son of Lavan. Esav suddenly understood this. And so Esav, who was competition, was thinking, well, what's he going to do? What was he going to do? Obviously, or not obviously, but apparently, Esav could not follow Yaakov. He couldn't run off with Yaakov to Padan Aram and say, me too, maybe you have another sister, but there's another girl, you know, I'll also do it. He couldn't do that. Why couldn't he do that? Because, first Pasuk Zayin, Vayishma Yaakov el aviv el imo ve'ilech Padan Aram. The Torah emphasizes that Yaakov, Vayishma Yaakov, even though we know that it wasn't only that Yaakov listened to his parents, but it was also because Esau threatened to kill him. You remember? Remember the psukim. If you don't remember the psukim from last year, you should remember the psukim from this year. Yaakov Avinu was in mortal danger. Esau wanted to kill him. So you could say maybe Esau wouldn't have killed him while he and his parents were alive, but he clearly intended to kill them. But the pasuk says again, this is the way we have to understand it. That Yaakov Avinu was following a tzivui, just as Avraham Avinu was following a tzivui when he left Eretz Yisrael to go to Mitzrayim. Right? He followed the tzivui to go to Eretz Canaan. Then according to Rashi, felt that he was following the tzivui because there was a famine. The famine is from God. So if there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael, what's he to do? So he went to Eretz Mitzrayim. And here it says that Yaakov Avinu didn't go to Padan Aram because he was afraid of Esav. He went to Padan Aram because his father told him to go. Now you know that his father, who is called by Chazal Olat Tmima, the perfect sacrifice, right? Olat Tmima. Yitzchak Avinu never left Eretz Yisrael. He was going to leave Eretz Yisrael. You remember that there was a famine. And Yitzchak, who learned in Yeshiva as well, made an obvious kind of tzushtel, it's called. He made an obvious comparison. If my father left Eretz Yisrael when there was a famine, surely I should leave Eretz Yisrael when there was a famine. It's the right thing to do, to follow the way of my father, Avraham Avinu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yitzchak, don't leave. Right? Then Yitzchak was the one who told Yaakov to leave. And the pasuk says that Yaakov did not leave Eretz Yisrael because he was afraid, for negative reasons. He left Eretz Yisrael for positive reasons because there was a profit motive that he had. He went to Padan Aram in order to get a wife. That's what the psukim say. Now, we're up to the last pasuk in this section. next to the last. Pasuk Chet. Vayar Esav kiraot benot kinan b'enei Yitzchak aviv. You see? What is Vayar Yitzchak? He understood. Just like Vayar, Vayar Esav, he understood. Vayar Esav previously in Davav, in Pasuk Vav, that somehow there was a connection between getting the brocha and marrying the right person, the right woman. So Esav finally said to himself, Vayar Esav, that's Pasuk Chet, ki ra'ot benot kinan b'nei Yitzchak aviv. So he chapped it. And he chapped it that as we said, if you come from the house of Lavan and Betuel, so you basically are from the same house as Avram Avinu. So if you did the genetic mapping, somehow, I don't even know what that means, but I can say it. If you did the genetic mapping, then you would find out that there was some connection between Avram Avinu and Lavan and Betuel and Rivka, right? They were all connected. And therefore, you would be able to find goodness in the house of Lavan, just as you knew that there was goodness with Avram Avinu. So Yitzchak says to Yaakov, you have to do the same thing that I did, and you have to get a wife that has that genetic mapping. Esav, who was not a geneticist, right, didn't have it. He said, oh, I understand that what Yitzchak said is that you shouldn't marry a woman who is a Canaanite. You shouldn't marry a Canaanite woman because they're steeped in Avodah Zarah. That's also in the Torah, right? In Achleimos and in Kamas Eretz Canaan, they were like bad people. So Esav said, oh, my father Yitzchak, he must be opposed to marrying a Canaanite. So why did he tell Yaakov to go to Bisuel, to the house of Bisuel? It's the only address he knew in Chutz La'aretz. I mean, where's he going to send him? To the Hollywood Inn or the, whatever you call those hotels? Where did he send him to? So he sent him to his relatives. He had no other relatives. Whereas the correct shot was that if you go to the house of Bisuel, you'll find a genetic makeup in a person that will be superior. And that will continue the people of Israel, the family, just as Rivka was necessary as a wife for Yitzchak. But Esav made a mistake. I didn't quite understand it. And therefore, we're up to the last pasuk. Therefore, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. So what did Esav say? Who knows? According to Rashi, Yishmael was chozer b'tshuva. According to the Ramban, Vayikva Vayamot. So what did he say? What did Esav say? Mistomer, Yishmael's also in the deal. But of course this was not true, because Yishmael's mother was genetically unmapped, or whatever you say, genetically. Like she was missing a chromosome. Hagar was missing a chromosome. They can't fix that. Yishmael could be chozer b'tshuva. This is a case of he just misread the whole thing. He said he could be chozer b'tshuva, but he can't fix everybody else who was in the family who was not chozer b'tshuva in those days. You know, one person, if the head of the family was chozer b'tshuva, so enough. They didn't ask the women to bench. Only Avraham Avinu asked the women to bench. But Yishmael didn't ask the women to bench. He said, well, it doesn't matter. No. So the last passage of Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. Vayikach lo et mochalat bat Yishmael ben Avraham. You see the stress? Ben Yishmael, ben Avraham. Here's Esav rejuvenating himself, right? He's saying, I'm going to get that bracha, because I'm going to be able to do the same thing that Yitzchak told Yaakov to do, right here in Eretz Israel. Maybe Yitzchak hadn't heard that Yishmael was chozer to b'tshuva, according to Rashi and the Ramban, at the end of the parashah of Chayis. I mean, we know that the Yitzchak was not up on the latest Whatever Yitzchak was thinking about, he didn't always have the computer on. It wasn't always, he didn't always have the last minute. So, Vayelech Esav Yishmael, Yikach Mechalat Bat Yishmael, Ben Avraham, Achot Nevayot, Al Nashav Lo Leisha. So the question is, Takir. So what happened with Esav? I mean, it's true he got the pshat wrong, but he married, after all, the daughters of Yishmael. Did that change his position? Did it change his situation? I just want to remind you of a pasuk. You see, Bereshit Perek Tedvav, Pasuk Tedvav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, V'atav tavo l'avotecha b'shalom, tikaveh b'seiva tova. Shalom. Tatavo, v'lo tireh kol eila, meaning you're going to die. You, Avraham Avinu, are going to die. You're not going to see that your children will go into exile in Mitzrayim, right? Brit Ben Abitari. El Avotecha. How could Avraham Avinu go El Avotecha? Avotecha is Terach. Terach, as you know, was an idolater. So you wouldn't think that in Olam Abba, Avram and Terach are going to play playing pinochle together. Unlikely, right? So what does it say? El Avotecha, Avid Oved Avodazorah, who? Mivasroji Avoelot. Rashi asked the question, how could there be a kind of a chabura in heaven with Avraham Avinu and Terach? Ela lemetcha shasa Terach tshuva. And I mentioned this Rashi before, so that means how many people have done tshuva? Terach did tshuva, and Yishmael did tshuva, probably, and the case is not in yet on Esav. Right, we'll see what's the case with Esav, so let's look at the next page. On the next page there's a Medrash. Oh, look at the Medrash. One second. Here the Medrash has big letters. It says in Psukim Chet and Tet, in that parak, Vayar Esav, Kiraot Benot Kinaan. Vayar Esav. Esav understood that there was a problem. And there was look, you could say it in this way. It's possible that the Torah invented the idea that you need a mother. It was not obvious. It was not obvious that you needed a mother in the ancient world. It's true you needed a kli, needed a vessel that would produce a child. But it wasn't clear that it made a difference who that was. And that the mother, in determining the future generations, was at least as important, if not sometimes more important, than the father. And this is a position of the Torah. This is a position of the Torah. I mean, you see very clearly, Abraham could not continue the line of Avraham Avinu with Hagar. It had to be with Sarah. Yitzchak had to have Rivka as his wife. And then we get to Yaakov. Yaakov had four wives, and they were not the same. They were not the same. We'll look into that. But this idea that the mother, as a mother, counts is an invention of the Torah. And you know that the Torah goes out of its way, interestingly enough, to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he was miraculously saved by an Egyptian princess, Moshe Rabbeinu was educated by his mother and his sister. As though to say, if that were not the case, then he would not have been Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was born, when he was born, he produced this great light in the room. Okay, light is light. But to be a leader, to be filled with the ideas of the tradition, for that you need a mother. I think that's what the Torah says. Today, everything is becoming changed around. So I don't know how it'll turn out, but that's how I understand the Torah. The Torah, and the Torah said it in a very in an odd situation, because everybody knows that the Torah is anti-women, right? Everybody knows that Judaism is anti-women. Everybody knows all of that. But in spite of that, the Torah takes a very strong stand in favor of mothers, like who the mother is, who the spouse is. It's all very, in the book of Bereshit, it's like if you take the book of Bereshit, you find strands of ideas. This is a very powerful idea, which I think is supported by modern day notions, that say that everything is genetics. So Vayari Savki Ra'ot Benot Kenan, Vayelech Esav al Yishmael. So Esav went to Yishmael. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, you see Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? The first line in the Midrash. Notan da'ato litgayer. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, it can't be that Esav understood that he had to marry a special woman and he wanted to be in the family and he wanted to get the bracha. And he didn't want to be like Yaakov. He wanted him to be like Yaakov. So he calls it litgayer. He calls it litgayer to convert. So if he wanted to convert, he was certainly a Baal Tshuva, right? I think. I mean, there's no greater, the ancient world, there would be no greater tshuva than conversion. And then the Medrash says, Mahalat. Mahalat, what kind of name is that? So you know the Medrash says, Mahalat comes from the word Mahal, forgiven, to be forgiven. Shevachalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKol Avonotav. That's one woman, right? And Basmat. Shenit basma da'ato alav, that his mind straightened out, that he was somehow, he straightened himself out. So like one opinion says, it gaira, and another person said, it basma, right? Or maybe it's also Rabbi Shur ben Levi. Omer Rav Elazar, but Rav Elazar disagrees. If he would have kicked out the wives he had before he went to Ishmael and sent them away, like Avraham Avinu sent away Hagar, he says that would be Yafeh. Ela Almashav. Kev al Kev means that he they were like patches. He patched this set of wives on top of the old set of wives, so he didn't really change. He was just doing something formal. He understood that Yitzchak wanted Yaakov to get a wife that was a wife, a special woman. So he also went and got such a wife. But he understood Yaakov Davidu didn't have a wife at that time. But he, Yishmael, had many wives. Devarachar kuv al kuv tosefet al bayit malei. So you see that there's a machloket in the Midrash about the meaning of all this. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Nitgayer. And then he understands the names of the women, Mochlat and Bosmat, as somehow indicating that Esav straightened himself out. However, there's another opinion in the Midrash. And the other opinion in the Midrash says that... Bosmat and Mochlat, the other opinion of that, like Rabbi Lozo says, that he didn't divorce his first wives or send them away, but he just added more wives, so he didn't change the household, he didn't change the nature of the place that he was in. So you see that when it comes to Esav, there's still a problem. And Esav, I mean from the rest of the story of Esav, you understand, that Esav was never able to withstand the onslaught of Yaakov. And when Yaakov came back to Eretz Yisrael, that's next week's parasha, right? So what does the Torah say? What did Esav do? He arranged all the people. This wife with these children. That wife with those children. So who is Esav talking to? Esav was talking to Yitzchak. And he was telling Yitzchak that he built a house that was worthy of inheriting Eretz Yisrael. Because that house was from the house of Besuel. So I know you could ask me, Akasha, Abila, and Zilpah, how did they get this genetic makeup? I don't know. But there's no doubt. What difference would it make to Yaakov? He would have put all the women and children together. Put them in a little corral, all standing there together. What did they arrange them for? Yaakov was interested in announcing to heaven that he had accomplished what Yitzchak wanted him to accomplish, and therefore he was worthy of inheriting Eretz Yisrael. And Esav understood that, because Esav accepted the meager offerings that Yaakov gave him, and you have that kind of imaginary story between, you know, the angel and fighting with Yaakov Avinu, that somehow Yaakov Avinu had made himself into a worthy opponent. So you see that Esav remains a dubious character. And even though there's an opinion in the Medrash that says Ratzah lehitgayer, apparently that's not what happened. And the way I understand it is that he misunderstood the directive of Yitzchak, which was to go back to the genetic pool of Avram Avinu and find a wife. Instead, he understood that what Yitzchak meant was, don't marry a Canaanite woman. And so he married non-Canaanite women, the children, the daughters of Yishmael. However, he didn't rid himself of his earlier wives. Okay, so there we have, like, that's the foundation of it all. We learned about Yishmael, we learned about Terach, we learned a little about Esav. Now let's see how the Shem Shmuel deals with all of this. Yeah. You mean it would be easy to find them in yeshiva, or not easy to find them in yeshiva? Yeshiva is a good place to hide out. Huh? Okay, look at the Shem Shmuel. Shem Shmuel, you know, he was the son of the Eglital, right? The son of the Eglital. What was his name? It was Bornstein. The reason that it's like interesting to know his name, because he has descendants who live today in Beit Vegan, probably elsewhere, but Sochachev, while it is not alive and well, has not yet completely died out either. So if you meet someone who says he's the Sochachev Rebbe or relative, and his name is Bornstein, it's probably true. There are also other relatives of Sochachev named Rappaport, who also live in Beit Vegan. And so the Shem Shmuel is the reworking by the son of the father's Torah. Nira she'esav v'risho hu mitchiloso v'ad sofo. There you have it. He says there's no sofek. Esav remains Esav. Kamo she b'tchiloso lo regish ba'atzmo shum chisaron. Just like at the beginning of his life, when he was born, he went out to do whatever he did. He didn't learn Torah. And he felt comfortable with that. Esav was happy with himself, right? All the psychologists understand that. Even bad people can be happy with themselves. That's in the movies on the mafia. See that. It's also at the end of the story when everything turns out badly for him. He doesn't get anything. Right? His father Yitzchak said to Esav, "You go bring me something to eat." And Esav was sure that he had won, that he'd become the favorite son. But very quickly, everything turned around for him, and he was the Medrash Rabbah. Esav achiv ba mitzido mizuyan latsud nafsho. That Esav wanted to, he came ready to kill his brother. Ve'inira shehafich nafsho shel Yaakov. Ve'chashav shiyishael avado, baruch mi banim, yoreshet kol ha'olam. Upitom nefach alav agalgal, v'naseh eved li Yaakov. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Ve'ilo lesim el libo shema'asav ha'ra'im. So Esav should have understood that the Shem Shmuel says, what's the story? The story is the story. If someone had it all, I thought he was going to get everything else that existed in the world, and a minute later he had nothing. That's the story of Esav. He should have realized that it's because of the way he acted. But because he was a bad person. So even though he was losing, he didn't feel it was his fault. He couldn't find blame in himself. The Torah called bin Ashav. And he said, in the manner of many men, it's my wife's fault. Kasher hein mi benot kina'a. That's the problem. Lo yitachein shezaran yamdu ala bracha. And therefore it's inconceivable. You know, this is like what I tried to explain in the Psukim, but he just says it. He says, it's impossible that my children will be able to be the recipients of the of the bracha. Lo yitachein shezaran yamdu ala bracha. Ve'al kein lakach mi benot Yishmael kedei sheyeh zera miyuchas. Ve'az adayin yachzor hakol elav. And that's why Esav came to stand against Yaakov Avinu when Yaakov Avinu came back to Eretz Yisrael. He thought he had solved his problem. The pasuk in the bracha that you will go down and be enslaved to Yaakov. So in other words, at the end of the story, when Yaakov Avinu is coming back, so he says, Esau probably thought that Yaakov Avinu would be influenced by the house of Betuel. Or he wouldn't be successful, or he wouldn't be able to kill him. Az bepshitut sheyarogit Yaakov v'echrechen azor kaili lavet heida, shelo garashet nasham arishonot. Elavadai, you should have to know, he didn't divorce his earlier wives. Elavadai chashav liyot kimo bidor hamabul. Shaita lahem isha l'piriyel reviyad. He says he thought it would be like in the generation of the flood, that you had wives who only gave birth to children, but they weren't in charge of anything. V'kol ma'asav hara'im u'ma'asei ma'ashav ha'risha'ot ayu tovim be'einav. So according to the Shem Yishmuel, the way that Esav understood the issue was that he had wives who did not have the right yichus. They were Canaanite women. And all he had to do was add a few wives, and everything would be straightened out. He says, וזה לגמרי הפוך מדד מידת יעקב שהתמיד בעיני עצמו בבחינת עקב. And he says, this is the opposite of Yaakov. Yaakov had that quality of עקב. What is עקב? A heel. What's a heel? It's the last thing to come out, or it's the closest thing to the ground. It's the lowest thing that we have, right? Our heels. Our heels make it down to the ground. כמו שכתב כבוד קדשו אבי בפירוש דברי הגמרא והקורא ישראל יעקב אינו עובר בעשי משום דהדרי קרוס. I want to tell you what that Gemara says, because it's very important for understanding all the stories of the Avot. There's a Gemara in Brochus. I think I was overestimating my ability to see this Gemara. Until recently, I never understood why I used to print in this New York Times for people who couldn't see so well, you know, like very big letters. So now I understand it better. Anyway, what does it say in the Gemara? One second. What does it say in the Gemara? Avram hu Avraham b'tchila. Naseh av la'adam lasod naseh av lekol ha'olam kulo. So the Gemara says that from the time Avram's name was changed to Avraham, you have to call him Avraham. So let's say you're reading the Baal Kori in the Torah, and he comes up to Avraham, some Avraham in the Torah, and he reads Avraham instead. So you know that it's sometimes tricky to determine whether the Baal Kori has made a mistake or not. So even though the Baal Kori has read the wrong word, Avraham instead of Avraham, but we know it's the same person. So what difference does it make? So the Gemara says, no, you have to say Avraham, because if the name change is reflexive of an essential change in the person. Avraham became Avraham, and therefore you have to call him by his right name. And after that, the Gemara says, Tani bar Kapora, kola korela Avraham Avraham, oveba say, not only do you have to, but if you read it wrong, then you are violating a mitzvah asay in the Torah. Shenemar, v'yashimcha Avraham. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, that your name is Avraham. How can you read as something else in that place? Another opinion that you're alav, because it says that there's a person that's over a alav. So that's about Avraham. Then the Gemara says that the same thing is true about Sarai. Sarai, her name was changed to Sarah. But after her name was changed to Sarah, that's who she was. She wasn't Sarai. She wasn't Sarah who was once called Sarai. Well, she wasn't Sarai who became Sarah. She was Sarah. And therefore, when her name comes up in the Torah, the Gemara says you have to say Sarai. You can't say Sarai. What's the Yotzei min HaKlal HaZeh? Yaakov. Because even though Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, Yaakov never lost the Yaakovness of him, of himself. And therefore, you can call him Yaakov. And so the Torah calls him sometimes Yaakov, and sometimes Israel. And so the Shevi Shmuel says, if you look at Shevi Shmuel now, that Esav had a very high opinion of himself. He thought that he'd solved all the problems. They'd taken some wives and the children and the daughters of Yisrael, and therefore the problem was solved. He says, but Zelagamre Hipuch Mimidat Yaakov. Yaakov is the opposite. Shayatamin Beinatwa Bukhilat Akev. He always thought of himself as being small and limited and problematic and having a long way to go. Kamosha Kosav Obi, the Feirish Divrei Gemara, Dakorei Israel, Yaakov, no over Basay. Mishum the Hagre Kraw. But if you call Yisrael Yaakov, the Gemara says you haven't done anything that is prohibited. Because the Adrei Krah, that the Pasuk itself goes back and calls him Yaakov again and again. And why does the Pasuk call him Yaakov? Because Avraham became Avraham, he wasn't Avraham anymore. And Sarai became Sarai, she wasn't Sarai anymore. But Yaakov, even though it became Yisrael, which is a statement of power and achievement and ability, right? That's Yisrael. He never lost that part of himself that was a was Yaakov. Haynu shavach hashisig shem Yisrael ki sarita nishar od bebchinat akev. That's what the Eglintal said. So it comes down to it. The Shem Yishmuel has to explain how he knows that that Esav didn't change. How does he know that Esav remained Esav and didn't do tshuva and didn't change his ways? So this he has to say, this is because Esav went and he was willing to combat Yaakov. So he didn't understand that in order to inherit the bracha of Yitzchak, in order to find favor in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to maintain that aspect of a cave, and that Esav was never able to do. V'yadol chesed b'akev achiv, but he didn't have that quality. The quality able to see himself as small and needing work and having to improve and trying to do something. And that's what the Shem Yishmuel explains in the name of his father, that even Yaakov, who became Yisrael, and Yisrael is the all-powerful one, the one that Esav wanted to be, in spite of that fact, he retains the name of Yaakov, which is Akev. And Esav, in his confrontation with Yaakov, was unable to imagine that there was something wrong with him, that he hadn't achieved what had to be achieved, that he hadn't done what had to be done. And so, according to the opinion of the Shem Yishmuel, he remains the same Esav that he started out as. So if we had to sum up, we would say that the Rashi teaches us, based on the Medrash, that Terach did tshuva, and I tried to explain that once in these Shirim, and that it may be that Yishmael did tshuva, because it says Vayigva Vayamot about Yishmael, that he died the death of Tzadikim. But Esav remained a kind of a problem, and the Shem Yishmuel is quite definitive about the fact that Esav remained Esav, it was not chozer b'tshuva, and that explains why Yaakov, along the way, we try to explain why Yaakov turned out to be worthy of the bracha, which meant receiving and holding on to Eretz Yisrael, and Yaakov and Esav was not worthy of that bracha and was not able to hold on to Eretz Yisrael. Have a good Friday. Is there a minion that didn't daven Mara? Because I daven Mara already.